Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
End of October.
Yeah. You know, as we were coming on the air there, it says, you know, show with Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth with Steve Gregory. I'd like my name first because I'm actually here most of the time, whereas Frank just like,
you know, if we go by that theory, I should be first.
That's right. You know, Frank screws the pooch and never comes to the studio anymore. So where are you this week, Frank?
Yet I call in where when you're away, you don't call in. So.
That is correct.
It could be argued that he cares so much, it doesn't matter where he is.
That's right.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm actually sitting in front of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio right now.
Hey, love Saturdays, or which parking lot is Frank
in? Yeah, which
week?
Parking lot, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm a nice guy. So I said, guys, and I've got my son-in-law, and my son's best friend. We did the Bills game on Thursday night. We did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Cleveland Cavaliers basketball game last night. We're doing the Sens game tonight in Pittsburgh. But on the way, I said, since I got to do the show, why don't you guys go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I'll do the show outside. So.
Nice.
You know what? I'm gonna tell everyone a story here, and this is very profound, and I think it's completely right. I was joking around with Frank this week, and you know he was going on all these different trips, and I said, "Oh, it must be nice." And he said, "You know what? If it's a hockey game," he says, "I'm kind of in the third period of my life right now." And I jokingly said, "Actually, Frank, you're actually in overtime." You know, expecting a crack back from Frank, and he actually responded with something that actually resonated. He said, "I think we're all in overtime, Paul. It's just how you live your life." And I was like, wow, that's good. And I realized I'm not living my life good enough, that's for sure.
All I know is this is a little too deep for a Saturday morning for me.
But I agree with you, Frankie, and I'm glad you're doing all this stuff, and especially with your son, which is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, these are moments we all cherish. So,
now, you know, your son is early in the first period. Maybe he should be on the show, and you should be in there.
Well, we're working on it. We'll get him in there eventually. But right now, he's actually, you know him, he played football, so for him, This is huge for him to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
When are you going to take him to the Hockey Hall of Fame and show him, what is it, your gloves that are in there, Paul?
My gloves are in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and actually my socks are in the Hockey Hall of Fame, yes. Believe it or not, I tell people.
My gloves and my socks.
Well, it's weird, but I tell people I'm in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and they don't believe me, but I'm in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And it's funny, I was actually in the dentist chair one day. I was still playing pro hockey at the time, and the dentist was like, "Hey, congratulations, your glove and socks are in the Hockey Hall of Fame." And I jokingly said, "Yeah, whatever." I said, I was a minor league bubble guy. They're not in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's like, "Yeah, they are." And so, of course, I played in London, England. So all the fans from London, England heard this. And so they're like, "Oh, I'm going to check it out." They flew from London, England to see my stuff in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And they're sending me pictures. And I'm like, you know what? I better take my kids up there to take a look at this. So I have pictures of me and my kids looking at their display.
And what are they in there for?
So,
and then we'll get to real estate.
We'll get to real estate. So in a championship game, I scored a natural hat trick to win it for my team to win the championship and my only championship in pro hockey. Because of that, I'm in the European section of the Hockey Hall of Fame with my gloves and my socks, which is which was amazing for my kids to see because they've seen me skate now. And my son one time saw me skate and said, "You really played pro hockey?" And I said, "I used to be a good skater, bud. I mean, I'm terrible now, but I used to be a good skater."
So they saw your face and decided gloves and socks.
Well, that's it. They didn't want a picture of me, that's for sure.
Hey, Frank, big surprise. Rates unchanged.
Big surprise, eh? No, I think we're at the end of the hiking, even though the rhetoric that came out of Tiff Macklem again suggested that increases are still possible.
But why does he keep saying that, Frank?
I just think that he leaves himself. I think after everything that he did and making the promises he did that interest rates wouldn't go up, now he just doesn't leave any openings. That's all. He leaves it so that he's covered whichever way it goes. And reality is that every single economist will tell you another increase would be devastating. It's already devastating enough. You know, what most of them think that, unfortunately, I think the rhetoric is all about now maintaining rates at this current level for longer than they should, because most economists will tell you it's time to start to lower the prime rate and bring it back down. But by him saying what he said, he's leaving an opening for him to keep them high as long as possible.
Didn't he say that he thought home values should be lower by now? Is he hoping that they go lower yet?
The only way that home values go lower is if there's lots of demand and very little supply. Now, I think we've got the supply is still an issue, but the demand's not there. And until the demand gets there, there's not a chance of that happening.
Yeah, it's funny. I had an interview the other day, and actually Greg came and videoed the interview. And they're asking me my predictions for 2024. And it's funny. Like, usually I could say, here's what's going to happen in 2024. And I had two trains of thought. I said, like, truthfully, we are going to be, if we can't get rates to come down, we are going to be in a very flat 2024. And the reason is we have no first-time home buyers buying because they can't afford it. So we've taken a large segment out of the market. We talked about it last week when Frank brought up investors too. We're taking out about 35% of our market with first-time home buyers. We're probably taking out, 15, 20% with investors. There's over 50% of our market gone right now. So if we can't lower rates with 50% of our market out of the game, what's going to happen is we're going to be in a flat market, potentially even a little bit of a down market. But then, you know, my glass half full is we are going to get some rate drops. So what's going to happen if we get some rate drops? Well, there's a couple metrics that we have to look at. One, if we can get some late rate drops, we bring first-time home buyers back into the market, potentially investors. They'll probably still be out a little bit, but potentially
depending
on home values. So we'll bring investors back into the markets. So we're bringing 50% of our market back in. We're going to get values stay where they are until the rates drop, potentially even drop. Once the rates start going down, it's going to be like a perfect storm. People are coming off the shelf. People are coming off the bench. People are saying, okay, I'm ready to buy now. So you got all these people ready to buy. You have no inventory in the market. Potential lifting of the foreign buyer ban at the end of the year. It could be a perfect storm. You know, I do think 2025 will probably be more robust and more of a strong year than 2024 because I think the rates potentially when they come down will drop gradually. I know some people have said they're going to drop large. I think they're probably going to drop gradually. So I think 2024, depending on rates, could be a flat market or an average raising market. If we can get them dropped quick enough and we get people back into the market, we could have a large increase in the average sale price next year. Saying that, if you want my personal opinion, I think we're going to have a very flat, if not a little bit of a raise in the market next year and not that robust market, which I was hoping for in 2024.
Yeah, big question mark for 2024, because if you believe the economists, they're saying rates are going to stay the way they are for 6 months. That's a long time.
Well, we're talking almost summer till the rates actually start dropping. And by then, I mean, you're going to have more people probably drop out of the market at that point because they're frustrated. Are they ever going to get in the market? They got to do something. So maybe they're renewing their lease. Maybe they're getting into a rental, something like that. And so there's two trains of thoughts. And I don't think I've ever gone into a market where I can't predict what's going to happen. But I mean, if I had a strong inclination, I would say, yes, we're probably not going to get rate drops till the summertime, somewhere in that range, potentially late spring. And if that happens, then maybe we get a few more people into the market. But if we can get some large rate drops and get more people into the market, I think our market will turn around a little bit. But my prediction is probably a flat to a small rise. I know, Steve, you have some stats here that people have, you know, mentioned that the market's going to do this. I know last week we talked about, you know, Royal LePage coming out saying, you know, in the fourth quarter of the year, it's going to be a 7% increase. And, you know, unless we get rates
TD
drop.
TD says 5% decrease.
Yeah, TD says 5% decrease. And listen, the truth is nobody really knows. And it's all dependent on one thing. Rates,
yeah.
You know, it all depends what rates does to determine what the market does. I don't think we're getting a raise like Frank said. And, you know, I've had some economists, like I think it was you or Frank, you were telling us Benjamin Tall thinks when we do decrease next year, we're going to go drastically, not gradually. Am I correct on that?
You're absolutely correct. He thinks the drops are going to be significant in the second half of next year.
So what will it take to actually get a drop sooner?
Well, the threat of inflation going away. But, you know, again, the funny part is that if shelter costs come down, which are caused by high inflation, inflation is down to 2%. So what they're worried about is, again, another, you know, what we just went through a couple of years ago, where if they drop interest rates too quickly, then all of a sudden everybody's going to go crazy borrowing money and housing and the values of houses going up. The truth is that in 2025, it's estimated that 3.4 million mortgages come due in Canada in 2025. So they realize that they do have to start dropping rates. And into 2025 is when we need to see these rates back to semi-normal. Listen, anybody that got a mortgage during COVID, know, some people were in the ones on a 5-year fix, low twos. So, you know, it's realistic for them to maintain their home if the rates are in the threes. But if the rates are in the fours and fives, it could cause some serious problems to the housing sector.
So here's the truth. Yeah, I know we have to get to break, and I know I'm usually the clock master, but you know I'm speaking, so we get to go over. If Frank was speaking, we had to cut the speed right now. But I will say quickly that I think Canadians have learned their lesson. I think North Americans have learned their lesson. We went through COVID. We had a lot of disposable income because no one was vacationing, no one was eating out. So people were saving a lot of money. And I think people got a little bit gluttonous and started spending money like they had lots of money. And then all of a sudden the rate increases come. Nobody has money anymore. So I think once this thing opens up and people have more disposable income, I think Canadians are going to be savers more than spenders going forward. I think they've learned their lesson. I bet a lot of people, I bet you, wish they would have saved during COVID time, because right now, they're really feeling that pinch. Everybody's feeling that pinch. And, you know, so I don't think Canadians will be as gluttonous anymore when it comes to where the rates going down. They got, I got a little bit more disposable income. I think they're going to be savers rather than spenders.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano, the beautiful Orleans. We go say hello to Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Diane.
Listen, I'm at my age now where maybe we'd be moving in a couple of years because I'm in, 80 now.
Oh.
However, my question is, whether to buy or to rent. And my second question is, I have friends that have rented, and turns out the apartments are, they hear everything and all that, you know, their neighbors and so on. When you're renting or buying, can you find out how the apartment was built?
So here's, I'm going to give you advice as if I was talking to my parents, because my parents are the same age.
Okay.
I would rent.
Okay.
Yeah, I would rent, and the only reason is one, you don't need the hassle of upkeep anymore, like paying for roofs and windows, and this goes on the house and that goes on the house. You don't need that at your age. So I would like I said, I'm giving you advice like I would give my parents.
Yeah.
I would rent if I was you. Like I said, you don't need that hassle. Now, as far as the only drawback of renting is a couple things. You know, let's say the landlord decides to sell the unit. You know, let's say he wants to do a major renovation and ends up kicking you out. So you want to do your due diligence when you do rent. Mm-hmm. My advice would probably try to find something a little bit newer to rent.
Okay.
That's not going to have a ton of upkeep, and it's not going to have any issues and things like that. So that's my advice as far as rentals. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as how it's built, absolutely you can do that. Mm-hmm. But depending on what you rent, if you're going to rent, let's say, a high-rise condominium or a terrace home or a townhome, yes, you're kind of at the mercy of, you know, what the builder built between the walls. You know, will you hear your neighbor? But those are questions that your realtor could pose to the other agent to find out for you.
A lot of times it's concrete, though, right? When you're in a building like that?
When you're in a high-rise, a lot of times it's concrete. The one thing that's not concrete that actually my builder out in Rockland and Limoges building with the all concrete structures, your floors are, like your ceiling is never going to be concrete. So you're going to hear some clamping and some running and stuff like that. That's a guarantee. And that's, but you'll probably hear less in the high-rise condominiums because usually the walls are concrete, so that's a lot better. If you were in sort of a townhouse by a, you know, let's say a track builder, that's most likely only built with wood structure, with some insulation in that.
Yeah.
But no, if I was you, it was Diane, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I was you, Diane, like I said, I'm giving advice to my parents. I would definitely rent. You don't need the hassle anymore.
What about a condo? What about buying a condo? Mm-hmm.
She could buy a condo, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Because I rented many years ago on Riverside,
yep,
and I never heard my neighbors, nothing.
Go back to that place.
You know, and so I would want a place like that, but right now I have friends that have rented, and oh my God, they hear everything. It's just
yeah, there are certain builders, but like I'd say, sometimes if you're building, if you are looking for, let me ask you a question, Diane. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for a high-rise condominium, or are you looking for more of a townhouse/terrace?
No, I think I'd go into a condominium.
Condominium, okay, like a high-rise, sort of like a downtown high-rise. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You should be absolutely fine, you know, because there is a lot of concrete. They build things, you know, very secure. Obviously, they're, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 stories up, so they're going to a lot of concrete in those buildings, so you should be absolutely fine. But work with somebody, work with a realtor who's going to help you find those questions out, because the last thing you want to do is get into a rental and find out that it's, you know, you have a a biker gang living beside you or something like that. So
yes, that's for sure.
Yeah, so definitely let us do the homework for you to find out, you know, everything about the building and you want. I mean,
and you can figure out about neighbors too, right? Some buildings are more senior than others.
Yeah, there's more senior buildings and, you know, and then there's more sort of younger buildings, which you don't want to be. And you'd love to be in a seniors building with people your own age to do activities that you want to do.
Yeah, that would be a good idea, too.
Yeah,
unless you're looking for a hot guy, you know.
Well, not at the moment, but you never know.
Thanks, Diane.
Well, thank you very much. Have a good day.
You
thank
too.
You.
That's very common, eh? Like, it's mainly because of the radio show. Like, we're a senior demographic with CFRA, and because of the radio show, we do get a lot of people who are in their, you know, late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s, saying, you know, like, I'm moving out of my 3,000 square foot home. What should I do?
Yeah.
Great question. But, you know, like I said, my parents are up there, so I like to pretend as I'm giving advice to someone, I'm pretending I'm giving advice to my parents. What would I do for my parents? And one of the things I would do at that age, and listen, I'm going to be doing that as well, is rent. Make everything somebody else's problem and not your problem.
Is it to sell that 3,000 square foot home now?
Well, it's tougher for sure. I mean, we went through a phase during COVID, if you remember. I was like pushing outskirts and large properties and large acreages because that's what people wanted, right? Because they were working from home and families were moving in. People wanted those large properties. We're kind of getting back into the territory where they don't want those large properties anymore. I think they're getting sick of their family and kicking them out and wanting small properties. And so I think that, you know, those ones are a little bit tougher. The bigger properties are a little bit tougher now. The acreage is a little bit tougher now. And even the country. I mean, listen, when I say country, suburbia country, no problem. Outskirts with lots of acreages in the middle of nowhere, those are a tough sell right now. Very
Frank,
tough.
Are you seeing big ticket items moving or not?
Not very much. I've got a number of clients that have got their properties for sale, and they're looking to downsize, and they're struggling to sell their properties because the big properties just aren't flying off the shelves like they used to.
So is that something that's going to stay?
Well,
will we evolve again where people are going to want those big properties, or is that?
Yes, we will. But the truth is people can't afford them right now. Like, if you're talking a large property, you're a million plus, and when we were going through COVID, I mean, anyone could afford a million plus because everyone was doing it. But now it's tough. I mean, people are, counting their pennies and they're, you know.
So would you recommend somebody hang on to that house right now and then go and rent and then?
It all depends on what area you live in. Like I said, and I mentioned it yesterday in the interview, it all depends on what your area is. If you're an area that's known for large properties, then absolutely. I mean, you got to get it on the market. Now, if you're that one large property in an area with small properties and flooded with inventory, yeah, it might be worth waiting. But the one thing that we will do is we will come in and assess your situation and give you the right advice because everybody's different. You know, I talked about yesterday, we talked about macro and micro studying. You know, like a lot of people will paint Ottawa as a picture. So someone will call me in Barrhaven or someone will call me in Riverside South and they'll say, so what's going on in Ottawa? Should I sell now? And a lot of people will say, Ottawa's doing okay. Yeah, maybe you should sell now. Instead of saying, okay, so you're in this area is very different than your neighboring area. Your neighbor should sell, but you should stay. That's called micro. And so I think what happens is you need to really micro down on an area and decide, is it time to sell and is it not time to sell? And if someone comes in and says, oh yeah, sell, sell, sell. Find out why it's time to sell right now. You need the proof, the evidence, the metrics to say yes, it's time to sell now because you're in this area, but not in this area.
And it depends what's available, right?
It depends what's available. I mean, some areas have 14 to 20 comparables and others have two.
Yeah.
So if you're the 14 to 20, hold on to your house, right?
Yeah.
But if you're in the two, let's get your house sold.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth. Frank in a parking lot somewhere this week.
Isn't that three weeks in a row living in his car in a parking lot? Frank, you know, you can afford shelter, eh? Like, are you still living in your car?
He's really downsized.
Yeah. Kathy's done with you, I guess.
To this show.
Yeah. Kathy's done with you. You're sleeping in the car now, I heard.
Hey, Frank, 31% of mortgage holders say are going to be renewing over the next 18 months.
Ouch.
31%, that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of people that are going to be worried if the interest rates don't start coming down, because they're accustomed to a mortgage that's in the 2 and 3% levels, not the 5 and 6% levels that we're at right now.
Yeah, I'm coming in October. I'm coming off my, I'm coming off a 2.74, which is going to sting.
And
October?
Yeah, in October. I think they're probably going to be, what, about 4 at that point?
Yeah, hopefully they'll be in the low 4s, high 3s, and then that's
not terrible.
You know, that's going to be manageable at least.
Yeah.
Are banks still pushing people to renew early?
Banks are, because, again, I mean, every time the TIF Macklem says there's the chance the rates could go up, banks pounce on that information and they use it to get clients to early renew and get out of their 2.74, 2.99, 3.19% mortgages 6 months in advance and going to the new ones with the potential threat that rates could be higher come the renewal date. And I think that's, you know, I think most Canadians should really rethink that strategy and don't let the banks talk them into something that doesn't make sense for them and increases the profit margins of the banks.
So Frank, I mean, obviously I'm in a better seat because I get to listen to you every week and, you know, hear what's going on with rates and stuff like that. But you know, there's still some mortgage brokers and some bankers out there that have this scare tactic going out with people saying early renew now, rates are guaranteed to go up. And I'm just sitting there going, are you effing kidding me? Like, you're in that field.
Franken.
Yeah. Are you Franken kidding me? Because you're in that field. You know what's happening with rates. You know there's a slim, I mean, there's a chance, but there's a slim chance that they're going up. But to use that propaganda in an ad to force people to early renew is shocking. And I mean, you in your industry, Frank, you probably see these and shake your head.
I see it, and I see banks tell clients not to go with brokers because they deal with shady lenders when these bankers don't even know the behind the scenes that actual bank is lending the funds out through these lenders. It's incredible the things that I hear and see that are false, and clients get caught up in it. It's disappointing. You know, and I say to clients, listen, Google isn't right on everything, so there are mistakes on Google. And at the same time, you've got these brokerages, these online brokerages that promote these low rates. In a lot of cases, some of them, when rates go up, they wait 2-3 weeks to increase their rates on their websites, because they're trying to pull the old bait and switch, get the client to call. At least they're trying to get the phone to ring. So, again, I think a lot of these mortgage brokers that do it, though, Paul, and real estate agents that do it, are ones that are desperate for business, aren't doing well, and they'll use anything to try and get business in the doors.
And that is so true. And Greg and I, we talked about this in my interview yesterday, is like there's so many people coming from a position of abundance and people coming from a position of scarcity. And people that are coming from a position of scarcity are using every scare tactic that they can get to get business, which is a shame. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned how the banks are bashing the brokers. You probably know who I'm talking about, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I have a good friend who's been a banker for years and years and years, and he finally decided to become a mortgage broker rather than a rep at the bank. And it's funny, he said to me, like, this is a guy who's very knowledgeable. He's been in the business for decades, and he went to become a mortgage broker, and he said, I feel like I'm brand new in the industry, what I have to learn to become a mortgage broker compared to what I knew as a banker. And listen, I'm not bashing any bankers, but I'm also letting people know that there's what mortgage brokers do. They don't do just the shady B deals. They do what a bank should be doing, but they're doing. So
they have more options, right?
They have more options, but they have to earn their business and run after their business and renew their business, where, you know, a banker doesn't. A banker gets their business from the bank and they can't renew it. So it's like one and done and thank you very much. And that's it. Where, you know, Frank, he has to put together a mortgage for somebody, but then he has to hope that person comes back in 5 years to him. So he has to work for that repeat and referral business as well, where the bankers don't, right? So it's a,
you know, my way of thinking, if ever there was a time to not early renew, it's now.
It's right now. Absolutely.
Like, how could you even make a case, Frank, that it's time to early renew?
Well, no different than you've got banks that are calling their variable rate customers and telling them they should lock in. I mean, that's absolutely absurd. They should have been doing that 18 months ago, but they weren't doing it 18 months ago. You know, when they're doing it now because the volumes are down. And how do we get increased volumes? Let's see if we can get these clients to lock in for 5 years now. But they shouldn't be. Like, at this point, if you feel that mortgages have hit their peak, why would you convert to a fixed mortgage at this point? You've already gone through all the pain. Now there's probably roses at the end of this rainbow for you. By waiting it out, you're likely going to get better rates within the next 6 months or 12 months. So at this point, just sit back and continue to stay in the variable and wait for the rates to drop. And then if you want to convert it to a fixed, then do it at that point. But don't do it now.
Yeah, there's no advantage to going fixed right now, is there?
No.
In my opinion, no. But some people, again, are nervous. They're not comfortable in a variable rate mortgage, so they want a five-year fixed. And I respect that. I'm not the type to you know, I think the clients need to understand what their options are and then pick the one that lets them sleep at night, and lets them, you know, feel comfortable with what they have. The only thing that I'll say, if you're going to take a fixed rate mortgage now and you lock in, especially with a big bank, and a year from now or 2 years from now, the rates have come down and you want to get out of it, it's going to be extremely expensive if you do it with one of the major banks and less expensive if you do it with a non-bank lender, who, by the way, again, just to reemphasize, they're using that bank's money in many cases anyway.
So, Frank, there's a, like, when we do training with my team, we're always doing some sort of mortgage training as well, because I consider ourselves a poor version of a mortgage broker. We have to know what our clients are getting offered, and we have to know what is the best product for our clients. That's how we do best by our clients. So there's so many times where we'll be working with someone and be like, have you talked to a mortgage broker or a bank or any of that? Yes, yes, yes. I talked to my banker. I talked to my mortgage broker. They've got me set up at a five-year fixed at this rate. And I'm like, okay, I wouldn't be doing it. Now, let's talk about your situation. Maybe that's your comfort level. But there's a lot of people that their comfort level is the cheapest mortgage, the best terms, and it's not necessarily the five-year fixed. So we consider ourselves almost a poor version of a mortgage broker before it even goes to the mortgage broker. And there's lots of times, well, we'll actually correct them and say, go back to your mortgage broker and say, this is the product I should be in. A lot of times the mortgage broker will come back and say, yes, they're right. This is the product. And that's the problem, right? There's good and there's bad, and there's every industry. But there's so many times that, you know, it's no secret that a mortgage broker or a banker are going to get paid more on a five-year fixed mortgage, right? So how many people are starving, coming from a position of scarcity, that just want to pigeonhole people in a five-year mortgage? And to some, that makes sense. Don't get me wrong. To some people, five-year fixed makes total sense. But in this environment, in this market where rates are going down, getting in a five-year fixed, I think, is a massive mistake. Massive.
Plus, the spread between short-term and variable is not very big right now either.
Well, it's still a half, three-quarters of a point if you're going from a one-year to a five-year. So, you know, you're paying a little bit more to go into a one-year or two-year. And that's why, for a lot of people, once you go through all the options, listen, just like a real estate agent will give you a whole bunch of comparables, you know, why your house should be priced at a certain level, or if you're buying, why you should pay this amount. No different with a mortgage broker. Our jobs are to give options to clients, not just say you should go on a five-year fixed because I might get paid more, or not go to a lender because they pay me more. That's not the way it works. You should, you know, a good mortgage broker will give options, will give some ideas, will give some, you know, some predictions on what they think is happening. But at the end of the day, the client gets to choose what they want. And what irks me a lot too, some of the bankers call themselves mortgage brokers. That's so false. If you work for a specific bank, all you're selling is that bank's product. So you can't be a broker if you're only selling one product. A broker is defined by having access to multiple lenders in the case of a mortgage. So, again, it irks me because they realize that they're at a disadvantage, and what they try to do instead is call themselves mortgage brokers, even though they work for a specific bank and they are not a mortgage broker.
Anything new on refinancing insured mortgages, Frank?
That's a great question, and we've seen two lenders this week. You know, so anybody that got a mortgage anytime that was default insured, so you bought a property and your mortgage was with less than 20% down, you paid the default insurance. OSFI came out a couple of weeks ago and said that those customers are eligible to switch their mortgage from one lender to another and not have to undergo the stress test, which is the contract rate plus two. They can actually qualify at the contract rate. So over the last week or 10 days, we've seen two or three lenders come out and say, hey, wow, we didn't know this. So that product is now available for anybody that has a mortgage coming up for renewal. Now, we got some calls this week, people saying, well, I want to include my credit card debt and I want to refinance. If you're refinancing, you don't qualify for, you know, just to get it on the contract rate. You have to qualify based on the new stress test. But if you've just got a mortgage, it's coming up for renewal, you've never touched it from a standpoint of you've never refinanced it and it was default insured, you now do not have to qualify at the contract plus two. You can actually qualify based on contract rate. So that'll increase some business for sure. And that's great for consumers because that'll allow them to maybe shop around instead of being stuck at the one lender that they're at right now.
So Frank, we're, you know, we're probably a minute or two away from going to break. And I have two thoughts that have come to my head right here. And I mean, Steve's starting to smile because he knows, you know, something's coming, but so two thoughts is big.
Two thoughts is big.
So usually I don't have two thoughts in a row at the same time. Usually it's just one thought a week, you know, but I have two thoughts. One, just listening to you right now, I realize how super, super knowledgeable you are. But I'm wondering, like, does your car have Wi-Fi since you live in your car? Like, does it have Wi-Fi? That's the first thought. And the second thought is, are you back in the studio next week?
I am. I'm really looking forward to it because, you know, my wallet's a little heavier because I haven't bought breakfast for a month.
Well, that was my third thought, that you haven't brought breakfast in a long time. But my second thought is, I'm looking at the clock right now. We have about 13 minutes left in the show, so I'm thinking to myself, I got about 13 minutes left in my vacation, and then I have to be with Frank in the studio again.
Actually, Paul and I won't be here next
week. Yeah, you're doing the show alone next week. Steve and I are gone.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show. On News Talk 580 CFRA.
So Frank, I this is going to be painful for me to tell you this, but I'm going to have to tell you this. In the break, I got a text from my girlfriend Petra, and she's like, yay, Frank's coming back next week. Looks like I'm coming to the radio station.
I love it.
I'm disgusted by it.
I saw Petra
disgusted.
At the hockey game with her son a week ago or so. Was she at the game a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, ran into her outside.
Nah, that's not safe.
And how is she enjoying Pittsburgh?
Hey, Paul, you were saying that our audience is a little older. Really, we've got a big increase in single older ladies because of Steve. Because they love Steve.
Oh, they all ever love Steve. I mean,
well, not just older ladies. Come on.
The younger do, too, like 70s.
Go to the phone, say hello to Ron in Ottawa South. Hello, Ron.
Yes, I have a question. People are talking about renewing their mortgage. If you bought a home 5 years ago and you come now to renew, is it difficult to go back to 25-year mortgage, or is there a fee?
It's not difficult. You can go back to a 25-year mortgage. You can go back to a 30-year mortgage if you've got 20% of equity or more, but you have to go through your normal qualifying stress test-related qualifying. So we're seeing a lot of people do it. Actually, we've got a lot of people that are calling us and they're 5 years in now. The advantage is that anybody who bought a house in 2018 compared to, from a value standpoint, as Paul will tell you, the value's probably gone up about 50%. So even someone that bought with 5% down in 2018, now all of a sudden they've got all this equity available, which helps them to be able to renew, refinance their mortgage, maybe add some additional debt. But even if they don't have any other debt and they're just struggling with the 20-year amortization, they can increase the amortization to 30 years based on the fact that interest rates are higher and keep their payments relatively close to where they are right now.
And if things are so bad, what is the default rate on mortgages right now?
Actually, the lenders have said the default has not changed. Now, when interest rates go up, especially as drastically as they have, number one, because of COVID, and Paul talked about it earlier, a lot of Canadians had some extra savings set aside. So those savings are being wiped out by the fact that the cost of everything have gone up. In some cases, people that have had fixed mortgages, so they've had the lower rates, they've still got a year or two from when COVID happened. But, you know, in those circumstances, it's tough to say, but most most banks are saying, most lenders right now are saying that the default ratios are still in line to where they were even pre-COVID, so even lower than what they were pre-COVID.
Good news.
I believe that's going to change, though, in next year, because there's always a lagging effect. When interest rates go up, it always takes a little while for people to fall behind. What people are doing, though, is they're pulling back on their discretionary spending of other things to try and make mortgage payments. These Canadians are historically known for always making their mortgage and rent payments and letting other things slide.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron. Are they increasing personal debt a lot, Frank?
Well, Equifax, the credit card debt is at an all-time high. You know, we're seeing people get loans, but banks are a little stricter on giving out unsecured loans. So, unfortunately, some people are not getting qualified for the loans, and they're having to keep the higher credit card debt interest rate that, you know, you see anywhere between 12 and 30%. I can tell you that in speaking to a couple of trustees, they're getting more and more appointments for people that are struggling and going into consumer proposals and or bankruptcy. So I expect that we'll see those numbers continue to rise, especially going into 2024.
I have two things here. One, Steve's looking at me like it's not a joke, Steve. I'm not about to roast Frank again. Two things. Ron mentioned, he says, if things are so bad, I just want to stress, things are not so bad. We are in a normalized market. We are in a normalized market. We're still teetering on the end of a seller's market going into a balanced market. It's called a normal market. So like Ron said, things are so bad. If you want to talk about the interest rates, yes, they are so bad. But if you want to talk about the real estate market, we're in a normal market. It's not so bad. Second question is for Frank. You mentioned about Christian concession spending and Christmas time. What do you think Christmas is going to look like this year for many consumers? And that's a question to use too, Steve. Like, what do you think that Christmas is going to look like with so many people?
Well, people say they're cutting back.
They're going to have to cut back. I mean, we saw on Thanksgiving, people not even buying turkeys because they're too expensive. I think this Christmas is going to be a tough Christmas for a lot of people.
Retail is going to pull back. There's no question. Retail is going to struggle. I think January and February will really be a telling sign because we'll see how many retail stores close shop because obviously they're going to hang around now. If you've made it this far, you're going to wait through the Christmas season hoping you can make ends meet. But if things don't go well during the Christmas season, then you know that January and February are going to be the lightest months of them all. So
yeah.
If you can't make it past Christmas, then you're going to shut your doors in January, February.
I just said that on air. I said Christmas is going to be really tough this year, and Petra just texts me and she goes, "It better not be."
So if people are spending less, where should they be spending their money, Frank?
Well, I think people need to make sure they have a plan.
I mean,
for that rainy day.
Should they be spending locally?
Well, obviously. I mean, you know, support local. And charities are hurting, too. I mean, you know, in talking to most charities, look at the food bank. They've never served as many meals as they have this year. So, you know, if there's a little bit of extra money that you can make available for charities, I think they'd really appreciate it. But local businesses, too. I mean, you know, try to support these local businesses who are trying to keep their heads above water in these really, really tough times.
Birthdays?
Birthdays. One of our agents have been with us, a superstar for the last couple of years. Stefano Provenzano celebrated his birthday this week. So happy birthday to Stefano.
Only one vowel this week?
Just one vowel this week.
I just have one. My MVP in my real estate team is Angie White. And she's going through a big, big struggle right now in hospital with her dad. My thoughts and prayers to Angie and her family, and I hope people can keep Angie in their prayers because it's not a good situation. So wish the best to Angie, who's my all-star.
Thank you, gentlemen. Frank,
Angie,
we'll see you next week.
Behind me.
What's that?
Angie used to live behind me, so my thoughts go out to her and her dad, Doug, for sure. So
thanks, Frank.
All right, have a great week, gentlemen.
Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week. Support local businesses and charities, everyone.